Log Talk Radio.
Good Monday night to you. This is Jim Bird with Killer Bees Barbecue out of Evans, Georgia. We have a good show tonight. We have the wonderful Christy Beckham coming on to talk about the Bangjobecue coming up here in Evans in May, which is next month. It's just right around the corner. There is $40,000 prize money up for grabs in it. So, Myron makes a safe. Come get you some of that. Great event. A lot of people. She got some exciting new things going on this year. Great talent up on the stage. Of course, great prize money. Several teams from around the country come to it. Most notables are Tuffy from Cool Smoke. You got a lot of bulls. You got Smoking Triggers. You got Pellet Envy, Pork Barrel, Munching Hogs at the Hilton, Two Old Men and a Grill, Picking Porkers, Zero Grillers, Holy Smokes, Chatham Artillery. List goes on and on and on. And, of course, yours truly will be there. But it's just a fabulous event, a wonderful area to have the event at, just a wonderful site, plenty of power, plenty of water, just an all-around really good contest and everything. We also have Corey Brinson from Fatback's Rib Shack. He's going to be coming on, talking about last year on Barbecue Pit Masters and see what he's up to this year. I know he's opening a very successful restaurant. And, you know, hopefully he'll be on here for too long to tell us how all that's going. We look forward to hearing about people that, you know, do very well, not only in competing, but also in the business world. As you know, Tuffy owns three or four key locations, and several other teams have gone into making their own sauces and making their own rubs and having their classes and all that. I do want to give a couple shout-outs. I do want to give a shout-out to one of my good friends, David Morrow from Blue Bloods, for taking his third grand down in Slidell, Louisiana, which is not too far from his home. Congratulations to David and Celeste Morrow for a job well done. And I also want to congratulate JT Handy over here at the South Carolina Barbecue Association, one named Aiken, the Horson, and Hagen competition they had over here. He had 23 competitors, several of the top 10 competitors from last year in South Carolina Barbecue Association showed up. Dwayne Jones put on a wonderful event down in Aiken, and rumor has it we might go to TCBS next year. So mark that on your calendar for last weekend in March. If you go to TCBS, it's going to be an awesome event. Just beautiful setting in downtown Aiken, South Carolina. I also want to give my hats off to Brad Kay from Lang Smokers for coming in second place. Of course, yours truly was third, nipping on Brad's heels. But Brad also took second place in ribs, and Jamie Miles and Brandon took first in ribs from the Berry Patch Barbecue team out of Newberry, South Carolina. So my hat's off to them. There were several other contests around the country. I know one of my sponsors, Butcher Barbecue, David Boska, but got a reserve grant out in Oklahoma. So we're proud to announce that. And I want to go through my sponsors. We have Royal Oak Charcoal, Great American Tradition. It's a really great charcoal. We use lump charcoal. We also have Southern Q Smokers, who builds gravity feed smokers and water pan smokers. Quality at a reasonable price, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg, and it won't take you a year to get it. So give Scott a call there and reserve your smoker. Also, we have Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, local bar and grill here in town, a good friend of mine owns and operates. And we're glad to have him on as a sponsor. He's come on strong, so we're happy to have him and give him a shout-out and everything. So we also have, there's so many of them, WikiQ, Jeff Campbell from WikiQ, using his sauce and rubs on several of our products. Also, of course, David from Butcher Barbecue, injections, rubs, you name it, he's got it. Great, great guy, great products, and it's a recipe for success in barbecuing. So contact David today and get you some. I also want to thank Phoenix Printing, Joey Haddon, down there at Phoenix Printing for doing all my shirts and a wrap on my trailer and everything. Great guy. If you need any shirts, hats, whatever, he's got to talk to down at Phoenix Printing here in Augusta, Georgia. I don't want to leave anybody out. So I also want to thank Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills, Greg McCauley. And it does a great job sponsoring us, and we really appreciate him doing that for us. And I think on the air now we have Christy Beckham, if I can get her on the line. Christy, are you there?
I am. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Christy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got a big event coming up in our backyard next month that y'all put on every year, and we didn't do too bad in it last year.
Yeah, you came in. You were reserved last year.
Yes, ma'am. It was great to do that in your backyard. So just to let everybody know, especially with the quality of teams that were there. I mean, it was just phenomenal on the rankings of a lot of the teams that you had and how far they've come to participate in it. And you know, we just wanted to go over a few things you got this year. This is Christy Beckham. She's, I guess, the co-coordinator, really the main coordinator. The Benjovic here in Evans, Georgia, coming up on Memorial Day weekend in May. Great place to bring your family and hang out. Great fireworks show, everything. I'll let you talk about your contest.
Okay, well, we have, obviously, it's at the Evanstown Park Center, the same place it was last year, which it was a new venue. This is actually our fourth year. And we're a Georgia State Championship, and we're on the Georgia Barbecue Association this year, so we're a part of that group, so that's new. We're giving away about $40,000. We'll have our steak night that Friday night like we always do for a $1,000 prize, and then we have our four categories, and we do a dessert category that some people participate in, and this year we switched from peaches to pecans since we're in Georgia, so now we're going to a dessert with pecans, so that'll be a fun addition. We'll have probably, we're hoping for about 70 teams. You know, just looking for a good weekend, some good weather. It's always nice. We have probably 150 judges that have already applied, so it's obviously it's one that people like to be spoiled on, I think.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
But now, you usually have a great musical lineup, too.
We do. It's a barbecue and bluegrass festival. And we've had some great music in the past. Music, you know, starts Friday, goes all the way through Friday night, and then Saturday morning we get cranked up and go through Saturday night. And this year we have, I think the only ones we've released so far is a headline or a band called Trampled by Turtles. It's a lot of fun. So everybody's looking forward to them. But we have some of our favorites coming back. And that'll be That's always a big draw. And then we have the dog park and the big kids' playground and the pig races. You know, just a lot of fun.
And you spell in North Augusta. I know you've switched over here to the Lady A Amphitheater.
Right.
Here, and it's people haven't seen it. It's one of the best venues out there on the circuit. And most of y'all are on grass unless you're leaving early. But the fireworks show is just something to behold. I mean, it's just awesome.
We also, another thing we do is the kids cook off on Friday night, too, that Greg McCulley at Fireside helps coordinate, or he coordinates all of it, actually. But that's always a lot of fun. And the kids, you can buy your green egg early if you want to. And the kids, they put it together, assemble it for you. The kids cook on it, and then you get to pick it up after the weekend. And that's a lot of fun, too. He'll run a great deal on those.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is if I'm not mistaken with Greg, if you get in touch with him the day of, I think with the steak cook-off, if people don't have anything to really cook the steak on, I think he'll let them borrow a green egg to cook it on, won't he?
Yeah, he will. He has done that in the past. I think that they run out of green eggs at a certain point, but, yeah, that's, he's always very generous with that, that's for sure.
And, of course, your charcoal that you use and your smokers and stuff will work in it, and if you don't have any, I'm sure we can brand you some up. Royal Oak's my sponsor. I'll be having a few extra bags there if people want to try it or whatever. And
I think he usually has some extra he'll sell you as well.
Yep. I may try to, I don't know if y'all have a charcoal sponsor or not, but I may have to talk to my sponsor about maybe giving every team member a bag of Royal Oak charcoal to try out.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I'll call Mike this week and see if he's willing to do that and put his name up there. I know he does a lot with Randall Bowman up there at the National Barbecue Cup. And just for people to know, this is one of the premier events in the country. You know, as far as KCBF, it's you know, a really good purse on it. You get paid very well for your placings in the top 10 and overall. And like I said, when you got the likes of Tuffy and Rod and Johnny and all them showing up out here, it lets you know the caliber of team that you have.
Right, absolutely. We have a lot of the big guys, but it's, you know, it's always funny that we've had some of our favorites who I didn't even know who they were win it. From year to year, we had the Long Dogs that won year one, and then Cereal Grillers, then Two Old Men and a Grill, and it's always people who come back and are a lot of fun and just great people. It's a great, relaxing weekend for the people who participate. Not me, but for everybody else, it's pretty relaxing.
I'm a dad went pretty relaxed in my trailer last year, so until you gave him a phone call.
Yeah, well, I get a lot of phone calls, that's for sure. That's a busy weekend, but it really is great. We're so proud of the event. We're proud of everybody who comes and enjoys themselves, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, and it's so worth it whenever you meet the people and everybody enjoys it. It's so worth it.
Well, how did I guess let's go back. How did all this become reality? I mean, the whole, a lot of these people out here don't, and Joe was a great guy.
It's the Papa Joe's Banjo BBQ, and Papa Joe is Kathy Barnador is her dad, and he loved barbecue and bluegrass and like a festival vibe. When she was a kid, he used to take her around and travel around to festivals. And so he passed away this year, would be 7 years ago, of cancer. And he, so in honor of him, we took all the things he liked and we put it in one big festival weekend. And it's Memorial Day in memory of him, and it's all the fun things he liked. So you're all, if you come and you enjoy yourself, you're enjoying all his favorite things. So you can't have a bad time.
Now, like I said, it's a great foundation too and everything. And how much money typically do you raise for the charity?
Well, I think the donations so far have been about $25,000 a year. You know, we're working hard to make money. We're not exactly making oodles of money on the big festival, but we're hoping that the more we do it, the more money we will raise. And it's all going to go back to the community, so that's great for us, you know, being here in Augusta. And it goes to cancer charities and children's charities, things that he donated to when he was alive. So we try to keep his honor at stake with everything we do.
Well, yeah, last year you had a pretty good crowd out there, and I think this year, are y'all doing anything different as far as enticing more people to come out?
You know, we're doing a $15 Friday ticket and a $15 Saturday ticket. Kids 12 and under are free. We just want people to come out and have a good time and really enjoy the whole festival, really. I mean, I think we just used to do a $30 weekend pass, but we got some problems with people just wanting to come on Friday or just coming on Saturday. So what we tried to do is just adapt to the people who were coming and make sure they're happy and give them what they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, another really good event that we do is up in Tryon, North Carolina. And they were actually losing some attendance a couple years in a row because, you know, they were, according to them, they were charging us a little bit too much. And
right.
So last year they went down on the ticket prices. I don't know if it's $5 or $10 to get in. But most of your big barbecue vendors, I mean, these huge guys that travel mainly do this at these events, their two-day normal take of that, they were out by 10 o'clock on Friday. And they had food service trucks in to get them some more some more food so they could cook it for the next day. They were totally out. Usually they cook enough for the whole weekend.
Right.
And they had trouble not keeping enough food because there are so many people there. They had so much community support after that. You know, in these hard times, it helps to, you know, give the people a little bit of a break. And like I said, we talked about it a little bit last year, but, you know, this we've got a lot of local listeners, too. So, I mean, this is just one great event for the whole family to come out and enjoy. And, I mean,
absolutely.
You can hobnob with guys you see on Barbecue Pitmasters. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. And, you know, we're blessed to have it literally almost in my backyard. So,
well,
you know,
it's definitely good for the community. I mean, any event that you can have such an investment and can bring in people that you do only see on TV lots of times, you know, that it wouldn't normally be here. You know, I've become friends with these guys, and I didn't know a thing about barbecue when I started organizing the contest. So it was amazing when Tuffy Stone called me the first year. I told him it was too late for him to enter, and so he had to have some of his friends call and talk me into it because I didn't know who he was. But they're great, great people, and it's a great event. We have, obviously, I work for AB Beverage Company. I don't know if people know that, but we have a lot of beer and a lot of craft beers. We do a saloon and a side stage and just make it a lot of fun for everybody. And we want it to be inexpensive, so if you come and you bring your family, you can afford to eat and afford to have a beer and listen to music, and it's all included.
Yeah, nobody really gets rowdy. I mean, it's just a really good laid-back family affair. You know, you come out on Friday evenings or, you know, even Friday during the day if you're off on Friday or even a little bit earlier, bring your family out to eat dinner and, you know, come back on Saturday or just come out on Saturday and enjoy the whole day out there. I mean, like I said, that park has got a huge kid zone out there. And for those of you who have dogs, you know, they got a nice dog park right there and a big field to watch any concerts and the fireworks and plenty of vendors out there to get something to eat or, you know, just to buy. I mean, it's a really, really good event. Now, last year you had limited to about 65 teams?
Yeah, last year we had around, I think it was 55, something around there, maybe 52. I don't know why that number stands out. But this year we're hoping to have more. And we probably have 35 applications already, and they'll start pouring in here in the next couple weeks, I would imagine.
Now, how are we supposed to, I know you hadn't got in mind, I was going to come up to see you here shortly. And, you know, there's several local teams are waiting a little bit, too. On the website, you know, it's got the big Banjovacue over the sign-up page. How can people get around that, or what do they need to do?
Well, if they go straight to our website, it's www.banjovacue.com. We have a splash page there now, and it has all the forms you would need if you're a vendor, a team, or a judge. And you can just print it out and mail it straight to me. And some people are even emailing them to me, and that's totally fine.
Now, can they, do you have something like a PayPal set up? Or?
I'm sorry?
Do you have something like a PayPal or something set up? Or?
No, they have to mail it in because we have to get the applications, and we kind of filter through them in case we just make sure everybody's okay to come in. So they all come to us, and they just send a check in.
Okay. So y'all trying to screen people like me out, or what?
Well, no, I think you're welcome back. But there, sadly, there are a few you have to screen from time to time, but we won't talk about that today.
It's okay. So,
but we always look forward to a great event, that's for sure.
Well, that's good. Like I said, I know a lot of teams are talking about it and everything, and are going to show up. Is Rod going to show up this year?
Rod's going to be there. He's paid his entry fee the last 2 years and hadn't been able to make it from him being sick, and then last year his wife was sick. But they're both healthy now, and they're both coming this year. And, you know, he taught a class here this fall, and I'm always trying to con him into doing one thing or another for me, and I'm glad to have him as a friend, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a great guy to know. He knows a lot about barbecue. Just about everything there is to know about barbecue, from the business side to the competition side. You know, first year we did it, he was actually cooking right next to us, and, you know, of course, I knew who Johnny Trigg was on the other side of him. I think they kind of caravanned that here together, but... you know, when I was talking to Johnny, he said, that's the guy you got to watch out for right there. So he was going for Team of the Year, and actually won Team of the Year that year. But,
yeah.
But it was great just to have them come over and sit down and in a tent and cool off. And, you know, I had my guys there that worked for me, and we helped them get all loaded up and all this other stuff. And, you know, they had a long way to go. And
yeah, absolutely. They were our two farthest teams that year.
Yep. And they were appreciative of it. It was pretty warm that day, if I'm not mistaken. But they kind of sat in our tent and cooled off. We had a couple fans going and stuff. And you know, we'd just done an article in the Augusta Chronicle, had done a story on us. And we were talking about it and, you know, talking about what I had to say about, you know, barbecue and everything. He said, that was a really good article. And, you know, we were vending. I was competing and vending, and we did okay in the first one. But he gave me a tip, said, you know, if you're going to vend and compete, he said, the best thing you can do, in my opinion, is let, you know, your wife handle the vending and her crowd, and then you stick with competing. Don't go over there. Don't worry about it. Let them handle it till after the competition. And that's what we did up there this past year up there in Evans, and kind of paid off for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we had a master judge cooking with us too, to get his master judging. So that was a really, really good treat to have also.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did.
So, but now you've got several, you said you already got 100 and something judges wanting to come judge it.
Yeah, we have. Our judge list is never short. So that's good. I think they get well taken care of. You have to go to an event before you host one, and the judges didn't get treated very well, so we found immediately how to take care of our judges first off, and so now that's come to our advantage.
Now, did you what events did you shadow? Because I've got we've got an event down in Charleston, South Carolina. We do, and Matt down there put on an SBN event. And he's wanting to do a dual event, and he was talking about doing. And he's got a shadow of three different. You know, contest this year, and I really love one y'all do. So I told him to get in contact with you. I think I can get your number. I told him to contact Boss Hogg because the girls down there do a really good job for the cookers and stuff. And it, you know, you can ask just about any cooker around that's cooked at Boss Hogg, and of course yours. You know, if you had three or four events to do, which ones would you go to? And, of course, Boss Hogg is one, Banjo BBQ is one, Tryon is one, let's say Dillard's one, and, you know, National Barbecue Cup. Because those sanctioning, I mean, the coordinators that y'all have in place, I mean, at each one, including you, I mean, y'all just really know how to take care of the cookers. Y'all know how to take care of the judges. Any power needs, water needs, I mean, y'all are there to rectify everything if there's a problem. You know, like I said, and the vent setting's just in such a really good area and everything.
Well, I think if you don't take care of the people who are cooking and judging, you're not going to have much of an event, you know, a couple years in, if people don't want to come because they don't feel taken care of. And, of course, we're just southern from middle of Georgia. We're known for hospitality, so that so we don't want to disappoint for that, that's for sure.
Well, you can also tell by where the people are coming from to compete in the event. You know, they'll pass two or three events to come to this one.
Right. Yeah, and that's a big compliment to us. We're very fortunate that people pick us.
Well, you know, and you're getting you know, I know I had Pork Barrel on here not too long ago. They're coming back down to it. Munch and Hollywood Hills said they're going to really try to come back to it. You know, several really good teams already making plans to come back to it. So, like I said, that just gives a testimony on what kind of operation y'all run up there. Like I said, I don't think y'all ever run out of beer.
No, beer will never run out at our event, that's for sure.
That's the other great thing.
You talk about it being in your backyard, it's in our front yard, so we're right there.
That's what I'm saying. You got a whole distributorship, you know, half mile from this place, so there will be no shortage of beer. And y'all have, now to ask you, did y'all have the beer cart going around? Did y'all just have certain stations set up? Or
we have certain stations. Yeah, we parked the beer cart the last couple of years, but we have stations set up where you can find beer at a short distance no matter where you are.
Yeah, we've got great bathroom facilities. It's located right there in the town center of Evans, so you've got grocery stores really close, actually one big one within very short walking distance. You've got a lot of places to eat out at. I did take a big crowd over to Reinhardt, so I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Oh, yeah, but that was like Thursday night or something, right?
Yeah, we went out Thursday night, and we packed them in my truck and Jan's vehicle, and holy smoke came. But we had Cereal Grillers, we had Two Old Men to Grill, we had Blue Bloods, we had, of course, Holy Smokes, Thick and Porkers. I know there's one or two other teams we're missing out. Rocky Top. And we all went over to Reinhardt and had a big old time over there. And I didn't realize it at the time, but Mark Breen from Sierra Gorilla, he owns a oyster bar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's, the name is Lucky Larry. So.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And but he ate seafood stuff. He said it was really good. It was a really good environment. And, you know, just really laid back. Hopefully we'll get a few more people to go there and eat and have a good time. They've got more than just seafood stuff. They've got great burgers and po' boys and, you know, fried catfish and all sorts of good stuff over there. So it's really good. Like I said, really good hometown laid-back place to go eat dinner. And
yeah, it's a Augusta staple, that's for sure.
So, let me see. I guess it'd be Memorial Day weekend, so it's a long weekend, so people can recoup from this thing. And y'all will have the fireworks again this year, correct?
I'm not positive on the fireworks. I think there were some issues of some dogs running away and not coming back, and we're rethinking that. So we're not positive on that yet, but we won't promote them. If they're there, that would be great. If they're not, we won't be out anything.
Now, I know y'all have ample power and water up there because y'all did a great job with all that.
Well, thank you.
We don't have an issue. You know, we're up there vending and everything. We have, you know, plenty of things that require power. And, you know, we didn't have an issue last year. You had ample power, ample water. Like I said, I got a lot of great feedback on all that. So, you know, I'm really glad that you're having it again this year, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for having me on your show tonight.
Okay. You want to give any shout-outs other than AB Beverage here in Augusta?
I don't know. I don't usually do shout-outs. I don't know. I just want to say thank you for having me, and thank you for everybody who's going to participate in our event this year. I think they'll have a good time. We do give the best T-shirt, so that's always a perk of the event. So I hope to see lots of teams there, and I love to eat good barbecue, and I can't wait to see who wins this year.
Well, we'll try to get you on here in May to refresh these cookers and competitors, and I guess people that want to participate in this. Been there one more time before this contest comes up. Like I said, I'm a big fan of it. I know a lot of teams are really looking forward to it, and you get teams from all over the country, and it's just a great event. I mean, there's no other way to put it out there. And you and Doug do a great job, and, you know, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Chris, you have a good evening. We'll talk to you later on. Thanks for calling
in. You too. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye.
So that was Christy Beckham, the one of the coordinators for Papa Joe's Banjo-BQ. As we said before, we've got a couple of events coming up in Georgia. We've got the Cornelia Apple Blossom Festival coming up. It's in North Georgia. We've got Columbus, I think it's called the Pig Picking over there in Columbus, Georgia, the last weekend in May. Got one coming up this weekend in Somerville, Georgia. Smoking is on the Chattahoochee River, one of those, over there in northwest Georgia. It's going to be another great event. It's a GBC qualifier, as is Banjo-BQ and Boss Hog. Boss Hog will be the second weekend in May. We've got one in Rome, Georgia, the second weekend in May. We've got one in Calhoun, Georgia, the last weekend in May. So Georgia's got a lot of contests coming up. I'm sure there's plenty to do. We've got two up North Carolina. We've got Kings Mountain coming up. We've got Lexington, North Carolina, the Barbecue Capital Cook-Off. It'll be the last weekend in April. So we're looking forward to a lot of competitions here in Georgia coming up and North Carolina coming up to compete in. We have not competed in a KCBS event yet this year, but we are itching and ready to go. We have been practicing with our different meats, and like I said, having Butcher Barbecue on board has really helped the Killer Bees proceed by doing very well in these contests we've been doing, and you know, looking forward to a really strong year. So we'll take a moment. If we've got any callers wanting to call in and talk. We're going to be waiting for Corey to call in from Fatbacks and see what he's up to, and see if I can't get rid of some of these technical difficulties I'm having on this website right now, trying to get through to pick up any new callers. Going back and forth on this thing, trying to find some callers. I want to point out we have another SBN event coming up this weekend down in Somerville, South Carolina. We have a thing that is about 20 teams, and we'll be competing for the banner for the SBN. And like I said, we'll be competing and going for gold down there in Somerville, South Carolina. Smoking at Lodge. It's for the Shriners, and it's a really good event. Looking forward to competing in that one and showing our skills, so to speak. Let me see if I can pull up who's trying to call in. over time to figure out how to get these people to switching over on the web page. Really have some tough difficulties today. Okay, we have a caller here. 515, who do we have here?
You got Mo Kayson.
What's up, Mo Kayson? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. What's up?
Not much. Just thought I'd get you on here and see what you've been up to.
Oh, just getting out there, starting to cook. You know, just did my third contest here last weekend in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
So how was that one?
It was good. Great contest, man. Great organizer. They really took care of you, man. It was gave you free charcoal, gave you free pop, 12-pack pop. They had pizza dinner. They had breakfast. It was good, man. Good cook. I really enjoyed it.
You know, I hadn't been competing as long as you. I'm going to my third year, but I've noticed that some of the competitions that I first started in that were so-so, they've really come on board and really started taking care of the cookers and the judges and the sites that you have. Do you see a trend going towards, promoters and stuff really starting to go that route?
Well, I don't know. I just think that being that there's such an influx of new contests, the organizer of certain, contests, they're going to have to step it up in order to attract teams to come to their event. I mean, that's just what it boils down to. I mean, this person, I did one down in Miami, Oklahoma. David Qualls, outstanding contest. Had another good contest out in Midland, Texas here 2 weeks ago. So, and these organizers, they just know that in order to bring in the cooks and stuff, they're going to have to, preach the purses and, having good power, nice flat spots, asphalt, concrete, or even if it's on gravel or dirt, as long as it ain't, mud hole. Those things mean a lot to a cook. When you ain't got to worry about walking in ankle-deep water to get back to your rig. And I just think that means a lot, And nice bathrooms, All those little things, come in. All those little things stay in the mind of the cooks when they come around to that next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. It depends on, who's coming. If you're in a really bad predicament the year before and you've got another one that's not far away, I think it'll be played more towards the contest that, kind of took care of you. Kind of got you in there pretty easy and, you could leave pretty easy. You had, like I said, nice level spots, ample water and power. And, that's what us barbecuers look for.
Yep. I'm going to be doing one this weekend. The first time ever doing it, but a friend of mine, Jeff Stiff, Big Creek Barbecue, he puts on one in his hometown, Dustin Hill, Missouri. And, they got 73, 74 teams already. So, that's this weekend. But it helps the Operation Barbecue Relief. There's a lot of good causes in it. So you're always going to have a lot of good teams, especially when you got cooks putting on contests. When you have cooks putting on contests, they know what cooks want. They know how to, to get what they need for the cooks for them to be happy. So, Jeff Stiff's he's a cook. And, this contest has grown every year since he started it. And, there'll probably be 80 teams by the time the weekend comes. And a lot of great teams, good times. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, it's my first time doing that one. But I'm looking forward to it. Get out there and see what happens.
Yeah, me and you had we did a first this year. You didn't realize it, but you came out of Plains, Georgia, and did a GBA back a few weeks ago. And I did my first GBA the week before in Perry, Georgia. And the thing that we had in common was our first GBA event. We both finished third overall.
Yeah, but, it was a great contest. I enjoyed the format. It's different than KCBS. It's kind of like a little bit like MBM in a sense, without having on-site judges. I mean, you know, you turn in your product, salt pork and pork ribs, pork loin and pork butt, and then the top three in each category get called back, and then you have to resubmit more meat in those particular categories. Hey, babe. And then at the end that determines your grand champion, if I remember right. And then the winner for the serve is the cumulative points altogether for the first round. So it's a little different, but you know, no garnish. You just got to cook all pork, and I think it was pretty. I had a good time.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you on your toes, won't it?
I just I used Berkshire pork, and I got a loin from them, and normally it's always been money, and for some reason, I don't know, man, you know, I cook it to the perfect temperature. It just was, it still had a not mealy, it just had a little tough texture to it. I mean, it just wasn't, should have been butter, you know, at 145, 143, I think I'm off, and let them rest. 145, you know, normally that temperature, I mean, that's a perfect pork loin temperature, and it just wasn't there, man. It still seemed a little chewy, so I knew that the texture wasn't there. I don't, you know, that just has to be the, you know, the animal, you know what I mean? I cook like I always do, and at that temperature, you know, it should have been, you know, tender and moist, and it just, I wasn't surprised when I didn't get called back from, on the long end. I thought my pork was on, and I thought my ribs were on. So I just had to leave, you know, I did my part, and I just had to see, you know, where the cards fell. So it ended up working out pretty good for me. You know, I ended up having my first pork, second ribs, and third overall. So, you know, that's cool.
Well, you got some new products out on the market too, if I'm not mistaken, don't you?
Huh?
You got some good products out on the market too now, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I got some. I got my original barbecue sauce, and then I have a raspberry chipotle glaze. Both are really great products. I made it for the backyard guy, but they're competition quality. My sauces are unique. Once you taste them, you know they're not the run of the mill. There's a lot of sauces out there that kind of tastes the same because they have a lot of the same ingredients. But, you know, my sauce is definitely, you taste it, it's different. Not different in a bad way. It's just that, you know, you tell that it's the stuff above a lot of that stuff that's out there. There's a lot of great sauces out there, but then the downside, a lot of them sauces, they all kind of convolutely taste the same. You know, mine don't do that. So once you taste them, you know, real deal. And you know, like on my comp brisket, you know, I feel like I'm going to have a really good year in brisket so far. You know, I just use my sauce straight out of the jar. I mean, seriously, that's what I do. And it feels good now because normally I used to make a batch every week or every other week. Now I just grab a jar out of the case. I just, you know, I have added. Sometimes I add a little honey or some more honey or whatever I need to do for, like, the ribs and shit and stuff. But, you know, I may, you know, pop it up a little here and there with a couple things. But other than that, nothing really too hardcore. And it seems to work out really good.
Yeah, that's pretty good when you can do something like that. You know, something that you've made, put your love into and everything in it, and it starts hitting out on the circuit and stuff. Makes you have that little sense of accomplishment out there saying that, you know, it's good enough for professionals.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I got friends of mine that are outstanding cooks. You know, these are top-tier cooks. And I mean by top-tier, I mean they, you know, they finish at the end of the year and top 1%. And, And, you know, a lot of men bought my sauces and stuff and let me know, hey, man, Mo, that's really good stuff, man, you know, and they really like it, and, you know, and that's cool, you know, but I did make it for the everyday guy. That's who I made it for, you know what I mean? It's on my label. You know, I'm a glorified backyard guy. That's how I look at it, you know. I don't count myself as Mr. Joe Pro, Mr. All This. I'm just a backyard man who likes to cook. Just happen to cook on the pro level on the barbecue circuit. But, you know, that's it, man. I just enjoy it. You know, I enjoy getting my sauces out there. I'm going to really get it. I met with a big distributor here last Monday, and they are able to take it nationwide, coast to coast, down south, east, west. So I'm working on getting a deal struck with them. And if that's the case, I'm going to be doing pretty good. Because they just take care of everything for me. You know, all I got to do is just sit back and enjoy.
And have your picture on there.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Living the dream, right, buddy? How many competitions do you plan on doing this year? Have you sat down and looked at them?
Well, it all depends. I mean, I did like 34 last year, and it about killed me because I'm a one-man team. But it all depends how I feel like I'm starting. Every year I try to improve than the previous year. And this year I'm starting off pretty good. The two areas that I really wanted to improve on was my chicken and my brisket. But those are the things that were lacking. I feel like, I mean, they do good, but, you know, if you want to get in, if you want to win Team of the Year, you have to, you know, it's just, I just knew that my brisket needed to come up and my chicken needed to come up. And I cooked all winter long in practice, and I've done my third contest already, and I really feel like I had two fifths with my chicken, and the other almost 22nd, that was in Texas, and then my brisket's been 14th, 4th, and 2nd. So I'm working my way down, working my way up, depending on how you look at it, my brisket. Now, I'll see how it does this weekend in Pleasant Hill, which will be a lot of great cooks down there, and it'll be, 80 teams or whatever. So, but I really feel like my brisket, you know, I made some tweaks, and, man, it's on, man. I mean, I'm just thrilled. I mean, it tastes awesome, and it's just really, really good. And I just really feel it's going to rock this year. I just, you know, it's going to rock.
Well, I hadn't done my first KCBS yet. I won't do one until, I think, about 3 more weeks. But actually, about 2.5 weeks. I'm itching to get out there. I've been doing some. Yeah, I did that one, that GBA down there. I've done a couple Southern Barbecue Network comps and a South Carolina Barbecue Association comp. So, you know, they're just close to home. They're, you know, beginning of the season, get the cobwebs out and all that stuff. Get ready for the big, we call that dirt tracking, but we're fixing to get ready for the big boys. We're going to put our big boy britches on and go after it this year and try to see where we're going to finish up at. So you plan on
That's what's sweet about competition barbecue, because any day anybody can win. I don't look at anybody's record, and I don't look at anybody. I don't fear no man. I don't, you know, that doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you have accomplished. You know, that really, honestly, not to be mean, it just doesn't mean much to me. You guys still got to walk cook, and you have to execute that day. But, you know, because you won 50 billion grand championships don't mean jack squat to me. You still got to get out there that day, on that particular day, and you're going to have to beat me, and I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to do my thing and make sure I hit my mark and do the best I can. Because, first of all, all I'm competing against is myself. So
right.
I got to make sure that I'm hitting my marks, and when I know that I've turned excellent product, then I know that it's all up to the judges now, because I know I did my part.
Yeah. Well, I got another guy on the line. Donnie, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Donnie. You know Bo Kayson?
Yeah, I know him well. Got the best hamburger in the world.
Get out of here, bro. What's up, man? Hey, good job of Donnie's last contest. Did that, man.
Yeah, thank you. I've been working all winter. My chicken helped me back last year, and I think I think I got it coming around a little bit. Maybe maybe I can tune up my whole program a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I did, man. I went after it this winter. I knew I had to make a change. And so I'm going to see what happens. I'm starting off pretty good. I just need to get it, finish the deal and get that GC. But I feel like I'm going to get there, man.
Yeah, it just takes all four categories, just a level cook. And that's the hard part about the competition thing. And, you know, you get all easy to get frustrated, and you just can't drop any of them. You know, trying to win every one of them is, I don't know, when I get something that's all right, I just sort of leave it there and not go trying to reinvent the wheel. And sometimes I think I get an average finish that way, so I don't mess something up. But I can't think very well, I don't guess. Some people can change their profiles and hit the floor running. Me, I had to work on 1, 2, 3 years, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like I had okay chicken, but I just knew I had to step it up. I just, you know what I mean? I look at my scores, I just look at my chicken, and I just know that I know that's not where I want to be. And, there was just a couple of tweaks that I needed to make, you know, with my cooking time and a couple of small flavor changes that I feel like I made. You know, I don't know if I got the best chicken out there, but I really feel like this past weekend was my third contest in, and I got it down. And I got my chicken down. Great flavor. And same with my brisket. My brisket, I'm added, I tweaked it. And, every contest now that I've been doing since three, you know, I've been making it small. I did what I needed to make, an adjustment. And I feel like I put out the last 2 weeks, Oklahoma and Texas, I put out killer brisket. First one out was Miami, Oklahoma. And I was 14th. I knew it wasn't. You know, I could have done better, but now, man, I got it down, man. I mean, I truly, truly got it down, and all I got to do is just kind of execute, just execute. And I think the flavor's there, what I'm doing, I wrote everything down, all my tweaks every week. I wrote my tweaks down, and I mean, they're sitting in my trailer right now from just this past weekend, and I'll put it in a folder, and I'm going to try to execute and do the same thing this weekend.
I had a $150 Snake River brisket to totally fake me out, I guess, this weekend. Usually it do pretty good in brisket. And I probed this brisket and got it up to temp, and it felt like that it had no resistance at all. I thought, man, this thing's going to be so overdone, I won't even be able to slice it. And I pulled the brisket. It had a knot in the middle, and I'm used to seeing that even in the Wagyu. But I elected not to cook it anymore because about three-quarters of the brisket I thought was overdone. I thought I was going to have to slice into the middle to get some that would be good. And when I let that thing set in the Cambro a couple of hours, when it's come time to slice it, burnt ends were perfect. But when
yep.
I started slicing that flat, I mean, it was unreal soft, but still had a tremendous tug to it. I couldn't
yeah.
believe it. It had a great
yeah.
flavor, but
yeah.
I would have thought that it would have fell apart. And we ended up getting 10th in brisket, but I think that was pulled out from a decision my wife had about putting a little bit of chopped at the top with some sauce on it and some really good burnt ends, and they didn't pay attention to it. Was like a soft belt. I don't know if the cow had some kind of trauma, got kicked or... I don't know. It was just the weirdest piece of meat I ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I was one of those cheap asses that I didn't want to spend that money. But now that's all I cook now. Snake River Farms. I started last summer actually, and I haven't looked back, man. Because I mean, I tell you, man, when it comes down to getting a 175 and a 178. And 173 or whatever, you know, it's that difference that makes it all worth it. Seriously, man. I mean, it's that finite. You know what I mean?
I,
I was one of them guys that cooked a prime, you know, just that's called prime, and you could turn out a good brisket, but man, and I mean, I've eaten people with Wagyu with the prime, but I'm telling you, the consistency of that Wagyu, it's just incredible, man. I mean, and I know exactly what you're saying. You think it's overdone, but it really isn't. I mean, you probe it, that nice feel. You know, now I don't even probe them anymore, really. You know, I'm going to take that back. I do, but with the prime, I used to probe it all the time because I was trying to make sure that I got it off right at the right temperature. And it varied. It varied. It could have been 206 on time. It could have been 200. It should, you know, and with the Wagyu, man, that I, my process, yeah, I mean, it's consistent, man. You know, I pull that sucker out, man, and I put a probe in just for hell of it, just because I need to do that. And then I know it's there, and I put it in the Cambro, and it sits for 3 hours. And then, when I mean, it's money, man. I mean, it's just money.
I cooked nothing but primes last year and aged them 40 days. Just put a total refrigerator aside just to age 2 cases at a time. And finished, stayed in the top 5 in points most of the year and fell to 12th at the end of the year because I dabbled around down there in Georgia too much. And I don't think they liked my style, but it was all with primes. And I'd be cooking primes now, but prime is hard to find. And when you do, it's a, you know, it's a program that you get on or where I was getting mine. You know, they shipped me 2 cases every other week. Next thing you know, I got 3 freezers full of briskets. And, so
wow.
I just hadn't got on that wagon yet, so it's pretty easy to call up, you know, the Wagyu, the 2 places, and get them to ship them in. But now it seems like they're out of them all the time. I like that 17 to 20 pounder,
yeah,
and they're always out. So
yeah,
I may go back to my prime.
Yeah, I just called today and put in an order, man, and. For smaller brisket, they didn't have they've been out, and I had 3 left in the freezer of the 17 to 20 pounder, and I used 1 week, and so I had to order some more, but you know I got the smaller ones in there, but the smaller ones are not bad either. I mean I cooked them, and they come out a nice slice. You know they'll be a nice tall slice. You know, depending, you know I've been having good luck with them, so. I like the bigger ones, but, you know, they don't have them, so. But,
I like
you know,
to have that.
My pocketbook's only going to dictate so much, you know, I can't run that all year long, you know, I'll try for as long as I can, but, you know that I'll eventually be cooking some primes here and there just because, you know, if I'm in a small contest, you know, I'm not saying it's not a factor because all contests are a factor, but. You know, when I know I got great brisket cooks at the contest, I'm going to bust out that Wagyu. But if I'm in a contest that's a small contest that doesn't have a lot of strong brisket cooks, you know, I can probably get away with prime or, you know, I'm not saying that means anything, you know, but I just know these good teams that are cooking Wagyu, I know a lot of them do, and I know that, you know, you have to match them, you know. You thinking you're gonna take a Walmart brisket, and you know I'm gonna whoop these guys at a Walmart brisket. It ain't gonna happen because those guys are gonna have sparks. And the one thing that does that wax has, it has flavor, and that flavor comes through all that nice marbling. And I don't care what you say about, you know, I'm gonna take my select and beat this guy. It ain't no way in hell. I mean, I've been down that path, and I'm telling you, man, it ain't that wax select or that choice brisket won't have. Unless you do a lot of stuff to it to where it ends up tasting like roast beef instead of brisket, then that's the only way you're going to try to face with them. But I don't like my brisket tasting like mine. I want my brisket to taste like brisket. I just feel like, you know, when you start I do inject now, but it's such a weak solution that it's just a safety measure just to add a little pop to it. But, you know, for them super briskets, man, you got to do a lot of stuff to them, man, to get them to, you know, I don't know. I'm just hooked up with Wagyu, man.
In Tupelo, I come in 4th place with, I think, a 178 with a 4 or something like that. And Scott Smith with Q and Sue and Brewing, I think he had a 178 with a 9 or something like that and got 3rd. And then there was 2 180s on top of us. So that was 100 teams with some brisket that was stacked all over top of one another.
Oh yeah, that's a sign of these brisket cooks. When them scores are that close, you know, just like you know, I cooked a pretty good rib, and I, at the contest I was at last weekend, I was 13th or 14th in ribs. I had a 164, which that's not all that good, but the winning score was a 169. You know what I'm saying? So
wow.
And I was 13th, and all you big names, True Blood, Buffalo, Lotta Bull, everybody was in that range. So you know, I didn't feel bad about getting the 14th place with a 164 because I knew my ribs were there. They just happened to go to a table that scored them down that way. You know what I mean? Because the winning score was a 169. Well, you know, Vic, this a 169 that'll probably maybe 10th, 9th, 10th at a contest, 11th, 12th in that range. You know, when you got a lot of good rib cooks there, because they're going to be getting the 169s, the 170s, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the 178. You know, so you're probably getting the top 10, but it'll be more like 9th or 10th or 8th. You know, the 169, depending on how many teams are there. So, you know, when a 169 wins it, you know, it was they just did score high on the ribs.
It's been some pretty high scoring where I've cooked. I've only cooked 3 competitions this year, but my first one in Young Harris with brisket, I got second place with like a 179. It just seemed like everywhere you go, the brisket's just really coming around, at least the places I've been going to.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to beat a guy that's getting 179s, 178s. That's damn near perfect brisket, you know, and scores, you know. You know, and you have to come strong or you can forget about it. I mean, if that gets down to the way you place your meat in your box, the temperature of your meat. I mean, everything's a factor when you get up in that 170, mid-170s. When you get the stores, man, that brisket's damn near perfect. The entry is.
Well, you know, Myron put it best a few years ago. He said, him using the Snake River Farms back then. He said, I'm not going to let $50, $60 stand in the way of winning $3,000. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a firm believer you got to start with some quality meat first. And that way, you know, if it's not right, you had more of a hand in screwing it up than the actual meat itself. And, you know, I think that's one reason why it's so tough to get Snake River Farms now, because a lot of teams are going to it. And it's a supply.
Well, that Wagyu will take care of you. You take care of that Wagyu, it will take care of you. I'm telling you, man.
When you start to see the entire scores like you and Diane were talking about, I think the judges in the beginning, if you ever notice, if you can remember when you first taste Wagyu, it tastes like it was a little overdone because of the buttery texture in it. I think the judges are more educated now and they're picking that out. So they're kind of judging almost like 2 different kinds of briskets against one another.
Well, the only moisture that you got if you're cooking a choice or something like that is the membrane that holds the muscle together. And when that brisket stalls out at that 170 or 180, that means that all the juices is gone out of it. That's the stall. There's no more moisture. And then you have to start breaking down the meat, and that happens at 180 degrees. So the length of time that brisket is at 180 degrees is when it's melting that and giving it back moisture. And the Wagyu's just got so much more marbling to give you versus those more leaner pieces of meat.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you're going to get more shrinkage on it, but you know, how much do you really use in the competition anyway? I mean, you're still going to have a good bit left, but like I said, just the whole flavor profile, you know, the texture of it, the tenderness of it, I mean, you're already starting off with a really good piece of meat, and you know, and you really have to, in my opinion, I treat it a little different than if I'm cooking a pork flesh or something. You know, just kind of watching it a little bit closer because I've had several times where that brisket would get done, you know, a little quicker than what I anticipate.
I argued that point. I can't remember which one it was, whether it was Snake River or Stroud, but I felt like it was taking me longer to cook the the Wagyu, and that's when they informed me about actually the breakdown of how that brisket was going, and that after their conversation, it helped me, and I think made me a lot better brisket cook than I was before. But that length of time, you know, it's sort of like he's cooking it in a crock pot, and he was going to get it to where it falls apart, and then catching it right before that actually happened. That breakdown is when that meat reaches that 180 degrees. So internal temperature, if you cook slow, would end up being a lower internal temperature at the end of your cook when actually the probe was going in and you had no resistance than it would be if you cook at a higher temperature, a 230 brisket versus somebody cooking 275. They're going to have a higher temperature because it's going to blow through that 180 a lot faster.
Right. Exactly. Yep, exactly, Donnie. The tip I give people, man, is that the hotter you cook, which means the faster you cook, the hotter you cook, the higher the internal temperature has got to be of that meat to be done correctly. You can cook a brisket at 200 degrees, and it might be done at 195 or 90, okay? And when you stick a thermometer, like Donnie says, and it's like butter. But if you cook a brisket at 300 degrees, okay, you check it at 190, it's either.
Yeah.
It might be 206, 207. It might need to go to 210.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, so the hotter and faster the tip, you know, I cook about 270, 280. My briskets all take roughly around, since I use Snake River Farms, is real consistent in size, and when I trim them, I kind of do the same thing. So my briskets usually take only 6 hours to cook. My alarm's chiming me 2:00 in the morning, and it's just right on. I mean, real consistent, man. You know, as long as I'm not opening my cooker up a bunch, you know, which I have a routine that I do. You know, it's about 9:00, 9:10, 9:15. It's chiming at me, letting me know that, hey, I'm done. You know, and so if you cook hot. Yeah, internal temperature for it to be done to have that proper feel, it's going to be a lot higher than what you think. You know, it all depends on each particular piece of meat. But when I talk about Wagyu farm, it's very consistent in the breeds, and the meat quality is more consistent from brisket to brisket. So, yep.
I think that's where some people get off track a little bit. You know, they'll go to a class, and I'm a Rod Gray student myself. 4 years ago, and you take your notes and you get these numbers and you think these numbers are law, and those numbers aren't law, they're a guideline. But it's like your grandmother cooking a cake. She takes a toothpick and tell it when it's done, and you can do the same thing with a brisket.
That's right.
The numbers mean nothing.
Now when y'all cook that hot, and you get your brisket up to temperature, do you have to vent your aluminum foil, whatever you got in? Do you have to vent it to keep it from climbing even higher, cooking that hot? Because you're exposing the meat to a really hot temperature on the outside.
And now, you just learn the time and catch it, normally do.
Well, if you cook it a little lower and slower, a lot of times you don't really have to because you're increasing it very slowly. And so you're not exposing the outside of the meat to 270 degrees. You're exposing it to, say, 50 degrees less or 40 degrees less. So do you have to open it up a little bit to keep it from cooking so it gets way overdone, or do y'all just, like what you said, just try to catch it and keep it closed up?
Well, when my meat gets my brisket gets done, I take it out and I crack the foil a little bit. Actually, I wait for about 10 or 15 minutes. I throw it in the candle, wait 10 or 15 minutes, and then I come back and I open up the foil about 10 or 15 minutes after that. And then, you know, then I just let it sit in the candle that way.
So you just kind of let a lot of that hot air just escape a little bit, then you wrap it back up, throw it in the candle.
It's escaping, but it's in a tight-fitting candle, so, I mean, it just...
kind of breathing.
You know, I don't just take it out and open up the foil. I mean, I've done that when I've actually thought I've overcooked it, you know, and, you know, I wanted to get some temperature out of it, some heat out of that brisket. But There's times I have never done it. I just left it on the foil on and just sealed it. But I kind of crack a little bit. You know, I don't open it always, but I open it up a little bit when the foil's loose a little bit. And you have to spend 15 minutes cambering, you know, and then I reshut it and let it lock for a couple of hours.
So what, you still cooking on green eggs, Mo, or what you cooking on?
Yeah, I got two XLs, and I got a Rebel 32, and which is a gravity fed cooker, like a Stumps, but it's Rebel. And love them, man. I mean, the process that I'm doing, I'm just thrilled at everything, how everything's turning out. I kind of dipped on my pork, and, you know, my pork's there. I just was playing around with a couple things the last few contests, kind of adding, doing small tweaks, and it's costing me. So this weekend, I'm going to go back to, you know, what I do with my pork, and then my big thing I'm focusing on with my ribs and my chicken and my brisket. But I got those down, and now I just have to just put it all together, like Donnie says, have all four categories, stay consistent, and right up there towards the top, and that's how you end up winning. Especially when you got 100 teams, you know, when you got 100 teams, man. I mean, all you got to do is just, you know, just get some good, a couple good calls, one good call, and have the recipe right up there, and you can win it. You know, when you got 80, like contests I'll be at this weekend, there'll be, you know, 80 teams. You know, well, hell, all you got to do is have four categories that are just somewhat close to the top 10, and then have one or maybe two. You got to get a one good call, high call, and maybe another one, probably fifth or sixth or something. And the other two need to be around in the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th place, and you can win it, man. You can win it. It's all about that final number. But, you know, when you've got more teams, you get a little more leeway. You know, when you got a contest with 25 teams and you got 13 or 14 of those cookers, you know, big-name teams that are cooking, that are experienced and doing their thing, you know, it's tough to win a contest like that because you don't have much leeway. You got 24 teams and you got 24 judges. You know, you have, you know, you may have 80 teams and 80 judges, but it doesn't take much to win. It's easier to win at an 8 contest than it sounds weird, but it's easier to win at a big number contest than at a small contest. We got a lot of good cooks.
Well, Donnie's list of consistency, because every time I've gone against him, you know, he'll have one or two top 10 calls, but his other two categories, one or two categories, ain't the, like, 11th and 12th, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Donnie's the kind of team that just sneaks up and bites you in the ass, you know? You don't have these guys with three pretty good calls, and, you know, one you don't hear them call, they usually bomb, but Donnie's just right there in every category, and it's just like, you know, damn, I didn't see that one coming.
I try not to experiment too much. If I got something that'll stay in the top 10 or 12, I usually just leave it alone. And categories that I got that do a little better, I just I pray that they pull me through it.
So, what are you cooking on now, Don? I've heard rumors that you're on something else this year. What are you cooking on?
I'm cooking on Backwoods. I changed everything. I had a trailer. I designed a trailer that's a back porch model that got sleeping quarters and bathroom and shower. And a back porch, I put a competitor and a party. I use a party just for ribs and then the other three categories on a competitor. I sacrificed a little bit of last year because I was putting those Backwoods on my other trailer and then just rolling them off and still used them. And so I used a little bit of 2012 to try to get ready for 2013. But out of three competitions, we had a first place finish, a reserve, and a fourth place. So I'm glad now that I used that last part of last year to try to get on top of that, because I cooked with the same smoker for 27 years. So it was it had never even been close to starting a fire in a water pan smoker, but I really like them. I didn't choose them because I knew anything about them. I chose them because another team was, I bought the competitor used, and they said, here, take it. If you like it, pay me. If you don't, you don't have to. So I got me a free trial and played with it several times, and I think it's pretty level, pretty it may be may actually add something to it. I wouldn't take love or money from my old homemade smoker, but they're it's really pretty consistent.
Well, I think that's the key to it. I think a lot of these smokers, whether they're gravity fed or these water pans, I think they're giving a little more level of consistency to the cook on any particular meat. Because I've gone from, I went to Green Eggs 1 year, did very well, and I moved up to a gravity fed and did better last year. And, it comes a time when you got to kind of get into the 21st century. And there's a lot to be said about getting sleep at night and everything, too.
Well, just keeping it so an offset stick cooker, there's so many variables as far as the wood, how dry you can get it, when you actually put the wood in it. You know, the Jambo pits, I think part of the reason that they're so successful is the program that comes with them. You know, started with a half a bag of charcoal and add one stick of wood every 45 minutes. That's the same thing you have to do. You load that thing up, put three or four sticks of wood in it, so you might think you might go to bed. You're going to come back with some green or black meat. You know, it's just a program of when you can add wood to it. And so if you learn on an offset stick cooker, the rest of these are really, really simple to manage. Managing fires is the whole thing. You know, that's the difference between us, what we do, and baking it in the oven. And I do like... I like actual fire. I'm not a big fan of pellet cookers, but it's just because I've been so long managing fire, I like to keep doing that.
Yep.
Well, it's good. It's good that people, like I know Mo can cook on just about anything. You can cook on just about anything. I can too. You know, you understand how each particular cooker works and use it to your advantage. And like you said, you cooked on offset for so many years, and you get that program down, and you go to something like this. It's kind of something new, but the learning curve is just so much smaller.
You was at the Hendersonville Sam's Club last year, wasn't you?
Yep, I was right up the street from you.
I started my fire at 3 o'clock to put meat on at 4. I went over to one of the Porta Johns, just walking around to sort of try to wake up and had a little time to kill. And I looked back, and everybody's smoker was doing real good. And mine looked like it had some kind of witch's brew coming out of it. It was green smoke. And it looked like some kind of a spell was coming out of it. And I took off running back to it as quick as I could, got my meat out of there and give that thing air and got the fire real hot and then choked it back down. But just mismanagement, and I did really good at that contest, but if I hadn't caught that my meat, you wouldn't have been able to eat it. But that's just an offset stick cooker. It was throwing the lights of that Sam's Club was shining on it, and I seen all pretty blue and gray smoke, and I looked over at green, and I thought there was a witch going to come out of the pipe or something. Why in the world was that happening?
How many gurus do you see up there? You didn't see too many people out at that time, but how many gurus did you see?
Well, I mean, I use a guru too, but it takes two 25 CFM blowers to work that big firebox. It would just, that it just choked it down. What I'd try to do is fill that firebox full of wood at 9 o'clock at night, and I'd go to bed and just let it sit there and make coals, and then when I get up, I could add a little bit of wood. Sort of the same theory as a Jambo with starting with charcoal. And I guess it smothered too long, and as soon as air hit it, man, I had never seen the wildest smoke come out of something.
But, that was another smoke that I was talking about, that Donnie got a couple calls, and a lot of people had a couple calls. And it started getting up to the top, people that had like these real high three calls that they called on stuff that makes you know Donnie gets reserve and Bubba gets grand. And it's like nobody saw that coming.
Just got to have them all up there pretty good, and it usually pays off.
Yeah,
well, like I said, it's consistent that pays off. We got a team I'm fixing to put on the air. You probably know them. 225, who's this?
The Blue Bloods.
Hey. Big Mark, Blue Bloods. How you doing, Big Dave? Congratulations on your reserve grand.
Oh, yeah.
And congratulations on finally figuring out pork.
Well, I had a little help with that. I ain't going to lie.
I know. Your Papa the Bee was down there, I heard. I talked to him Sunday night to check on, make sure they got back home all right and everything. So.
Yeah. Well, we had a little bit more help than that. We did a little dealing with the devil, I guess you'd say. There was another team that high up there in Pork that was having issues with brisket that we met last year and made friends with, and Darren from Iowa Smoky D's, and he's like, you know, Dave, when we go to Slidell, you want to make a little deal and it stays between us, I'll help you with some pork if you help me with brisket. So, you know, I got to kind of say thanks to him on that one. So hopefully he got me and Dad on the track, and we did it, and I did the thing, which was totally different and completely away from every single thing I was taught or what we were doing, to completely opposite side of the spectrum. And we were lucky enough to actually tie for first and come in second in pork. And pork didn't kill me this time.
That's so, right, man. What you can do without that, right?
Yeah, and you know, and that was the funny thing, because Darren needed another brisket because he wanted to cook it. So, you know, I helped him, got his stuff for him and stuff, and brought him an extra Wagyu. Actually, Dad brought it. Mr. Bobby brought it from the house when they stopped by before they headed to the house that Friday. And I showed him what to do after he showed me and everything, and he did it. And make a long story short, I was almost feeling kind of bad, because poor boy, he didn't get a single call, you know, first three meets. And then they call out, you know, first place in brisket, got a 180. And lo and behold, they call out Darren for Iowa Smoky D's, and it's my recipe and my brisket I brought him. I said, boy, you got me back, didn't you? So, but it was really nice and very humbling, you know, that he thought that much of me to trust me and, you know, and become my friend and help me like that, you know, and to, you know, give something back to him, you know, that I've been helped and done. And, you know, it was nice. It was really nice. You know,
well,
you're some good friends from up north.
Well, you know, we always say how good the barbecue community is. You know, somebody's down on one thing, another team's down on another. You know, I'm all for, you know, making little deals like that. I was down in Pork last year, and I had a buddy of mine. He was heading out of the World Food Championships. He never cooked a beef or brisket. So we swapped recipes. Actually, his biggest thing that he told me was technique. And tell you where he was, he finished fourth out there in the World Food Championships in Pork. So I competed against him this past weekend over here in South Carolina at the South Carolina Barbecue Association. I think he finished sixth or seventh, and I finished third. So it tells you the level of pork cookers in South Carolina. They're really up your game in the pork category alone. But just his technique has really helped, and he's been practicing brisket. So his first competition is Boss Hog over here in Waynesboro. So he's itching to get out there and do a brisket competition and see what comes in at. He's very excited about it. But I mean, that's what you got to do. You got, you know, you kind of help another out, kind of. I feel. So, where's your next competition going to be at, David?
We actually, because they can't believe every weekend, like, you're a police officer and you get to cook every weekend? When do you work? Well, unfortunately, I have to work this weekend coming up. So we won't get to cook anywhere this weekend, but the next weekend we'll be up in Gadsden, Alabama, and we'll get to finally see some of our old friends, hopefully. Hopefully Donnie and them will be up there, and Scott and Suzette, South Fork, and, you know, a few of our other friends from up in Alabama and other areas, you know. You know, like I said last year when we talked to you, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's relatives you actually like to go see on the holidays. You know,
yeah.
We're itching to get to see everybody, and we miss everybody.
Well, you know, like, I think a couple of months ago, I had Mo and Kelly Wirtz and a lot of Bull on here, Mike Davis. And, you know, they got to talking. I just sat back and listened to them for an hour and a half. I didn't have to say one word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they talk about everything they do at the contest and everything. You know, we try to get out and meet new people when we go to the contest. And have a good time, and like you said, I know Donnie and Mo the same way. You got different friends in different part of the country that you kind of look forward to seeing, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because we actually met Jeff and Ted with Shiggin' and Grinning. We met them and stuff this weekend also, because they were friends with 5 o'clock somewhere, Brian and Carrie, and of course Darren with Iowa Smoky D. So And of course you know me, I love to cook. That's just us Louisiana boys. We love to eat and cook. And they were looking at some pictures on the phone. They were like, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, it's white chocolate bread pudding." Well, needless to say, I was kind of into making white chocolate bread pudding Friday night. So they were all happy and was licking their lips. So, and then of course we took them down there to Southside Cafe, which is an excellent little restaurant there with a lot of seafood, you know. And we got the stuffed artichokes and stuffed crab mushrooms and blackened tuna and the crawfish balls and fried oysters remoulade. And by the time it was done, they were like, "What do you mean we got to eat dinner still?" "Well, that's just an appetizer. Welcome to Louisiana."
Yeah, it's amazing how you go different regions. I kind of stick, you know, I'm kind of a homebody. I kind of stick within about 3 hours of the house if I can. I may venture out there a little bit further this next year or something, but I got a contest to be pretty close to home. I know Donnie comes down to Georgia, which really isn't that far for Donnie. But Donnie, you kind of stay in Kentucky. Do you do many in Missouri or?
Not too many, but the Tennessee, there we got six in Kentucky this year, so that's we're moving up a little bit. But Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia, I got 27 on the books, not counting any I might get lucky and win my way into. But 17 of those in Kentucky and Tennessee. So most of mine right now that's showing on my list to do is between 1 and 2 hours, and I do have that little Unica or whatever it is down in Tennessee, like 5 hours away or something. But
yeah.
Well, good. That means I need to stay out of Kentucky and Tennessee.
Well, I'd like
we'll
to see.
We'll see in Unico, the blueberry one. We're going to go up to that one. And after that, we're going to come back down and do Maggie's Valley, North Carolina. That'll be fun.
I had to pull out of Gadsden, Alabama. I'm an electrical contractor by trade, and a guy that's gave me a lot of work in the last 2 years, a very wealthy developer, and he's having a birthday party for his two dogs and asked me to cook for it. So I won't be in Gadsden. I actually gave my entry fee to Scott with Q and Stewing and Brewing. He's got my entry fee.
Well, I'll miss you getting to see you, but to a degree. Sorry you didn't get to miss it there, buddy.
He doesn't sound too sorry, does he, Donnie?
No, he doesn't.
Hey, look, an old rookie. I'm still a little snot-nosed rookie. Still got a lot to learn. I've been just very fortunate and very lucky to have a great mentor like Mr. Bob and meet some great people that's been gracious enough to help me out. You know, I mean, I've just been very fortunate. That's all.
You've been having a powerful year. Looks like things are looking good for you.
Well, I'm across my finger, but you know, we'll see what happens. No matter what, you know, I'm like I said, we've been very lucky. You know, last year was our first full year pro. This is our second year, and I mean, we've been very fortunate. And hopefully, we'll keep learning, and hopefully, we'll keep that four-leaf clover behind us and get a few more calls and keep going.
I know, David. Last year, he had so much adversity coming up through Georgia. So I think Georgia was a woman for him. I don't know. He had all sorts of problems every time he did a trip in Georgia. But you know, he came through a lot of adversity last year.
And like you were talking about, like we said, you know, we talked a while back, you know, the barbecue family and the barbecue world and how great these people and everybody is out, you know, the people are out there. You know, when we were headed up to, I think it was Cleveland, to the Cabbage Patch Factory, I think, to cook that one up there, and we were coming through Atlanta about 7 o'clock in the morning, I guess, and my gas mileage just went to hell in a handbag, and I'm like, what's going on? Of course, Celeste is hollering at me about, "You should have got fuel." I said, "We always got about 150 miles the other side of Atlanta." Well, next thing I know, I'm out of fuel coasting to the side of the road in the middle of rush hour with a 40-foot camper and about 6 inches from the edge of the roadway, which was nothing fun. You know, and we tried calling all your insurance, everything we had, and, you know, and she's getting upset, and I'm trying to keep cool and keep everything under control, and, you know, couldn't get a record, nothing to come get us, no nothing, you know. And, well, know, everybody was up there, and my wife, fact that you were up there too. Everybody was up there, unfortunately, had bumper pulls. Nobody had the fifth wheel. Well, then Bubba happened to call and said, David, I was sleeping. I just woke up. I didn't know that. I'm less than an hour from you, son. I'm coming to you. You know, and he didn't have to do that, but he did, you know. We called the dealership. They come, got the truck. Bubba got there, hooked up to us, you know, and he brought us up there to the contest, you know, and got us there. And, you know, other people were like, well, we can get your camper and store it up here somewhere, then you can come back. You know, they didn't have to do that for us, but they did. And Joey and Sandy Boyd, Joe B's Blazing Butts and Wings, you know, talk about the fire department coming to the police officer's rescue, right? You know, they're like, pay for our fuel, we're coming to get you, and we're going to hang out. We're going to throw you all the way back home. And they came from Alabama, hung out with us Saturday, and they pulled us all the way back to Louisiana. I mean, you just can't say enough about, you know, the people in the barbecue world and how they treat you, and when you're in need, they put their hands out to you.
That's amazing how many people have flat tires. Well, I got so-and-so, you know, 30 minutes away. I got so-and-so, you know, 15 minutes, and they said 30 minutes later, so we got it fixed. So-and-so came and got me and, you know, got care of it. You know, it's really amazing, the barbecue world. I know, Mo, you travel all over the United States, don't you?
Yeah, I've had my fair share of blowouts, and, you know, and, man, that sucks me. Every time I pass someone that's got a flat or, you know, I just like, man, you know, it sucks, you know. Having to see people out on the side of the road. And I was going to a contest back in, like, in 07, and I'm a big Dodge guy and big Cummins guy, and I had an old, really clean old 91 one-ton single wheel, and you know, she had a lot of miles on her, you know, and all of a sudden my bike's about, I don't know, 40 miles from the contest, my injector pump picks a crap, and I'm on the interstate, and, you know, I'm hauling my trailer, and I called my wife up, and my buddy owns a towing business here back in Des Moines, and, you know, he's a really good friend of mine. He came with the record and charged me a dime, just came and picked up my, I detached my trailer and called my wife at the Durango, and I detached my trailer and came and got my truck, and, you know, I just took the Durango to my trailer, and I was kind of worried maybe that man blew too much for the Durango, and pulled it with that Hemi and just pulled always the contest. And, but, you know, I ran out of gas doing a venting thing. I was on the interstate. It happened to me a weekend. I wasn't competing, and I was only like about 2 miles, not even a mile, not even now, it's probably 200 yards from the exit of my Ames, Iowa, man. And I thought I had enough fuel. You know, I really did. And, you know, it was hot. I was like 90 degrees outside, you know, and much of the hard was coming back from a contest in Minnesota. He came up and he passed me. He came up and held the shoulder back to him and asked me if I needed any help. You know, he didn't have to do that, but he did, you know. But my wife was already on the way. But, you know, he seen me on the driver road. And, you know, and just tells you, like you're saying, man, I mean, the hospitality of people, man, genuine people, man. I mean, you know, it's the barbecue family is awesome, man.
It is. I mean, it just shows you the strength of the sport. You know, we compete against each other week in and week out, but, you know, after all said and done, you're all human. We're always going to have some adversity in there somewhere, and, you know, it's really good to have several people to have your back, you know, when something doesn't work out quite right.
Yeah, and yep. That's kind of what I told my guys, you know, because most of y'all know I'm a police officer. I'm a sergeant in the patrol division. And that's what I told my guys when I got home. I said, I know how I felt on the side of the road, helpless, nobody there. And I told them, I said, if anybody that's in our jurisdiction on that interstate, no matter where they're from, they need help, you will give it to them. You will get them somewhere safe. And we will do everything in our possible, if I even got to take some money out of my pocket, to get them help. Because I'm going to tell you, that was the most miserable, just lowly fit, just at the time, when you couldn't get nothing you paid for and get somebody to you to help you. And, you know, I just don't want anybody else out there, if I can help them too, especially when we're working, to you know, put out my hand and try to get them or help them. So.
Yeah, because it'll come back to you, you know. Just like you said, if you go help somebody, I've been helped on the road before. Lord knows I've had my share of blowouts. I had one going to Hendersonville, Tennessee. And another team from Carolina was coming up. They had two blowouts. So, you know, we've all been there. And, you know, we left Hendersonville, Tennessee, I had Bubba lead, and we had one of his buddies behind him, and he was kind of an older fella, and Bubba wanted us to kind of follow just in case something happens to him or whatever. You know, because Bubba wasn't going to be able to stop that big camper and stuff, you know, on a hill going down, you know, Mount Eagle or something. So we followed him back, and we kind of caravaned back and everything, and it was, you know, it just gave everybody a sense of relief that, you know, you had people right there in case any of us had a problem, we'd come back and get you. So, you know, if you're able. And it just, you know, Bubba's a great guy. He's done a lot for sport. He's done a lot for several teams. And, you know, he needs to get more recognition for what he does. And you know, he's a patriarch of this barbecue world. You know, he's just about seen all, done it all. And, you know, he's had adversity too. And, you know, it just depends on how you go through it. And he knows how it is. So, you know, my hat's off to him. I think he's a great guy to know. And,
oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know we've all competed against him because Noah's up in here in Seville, Tennessee, and Donnie was too. You know, hanging out on Saturday waiting for awards. So, but well, guys, what y'all got any shout outs for anybody or any of your sponsors or anything? Mo, we'll start with you. I know you got your own products out there. You're getting Mr. Big Time on us in Hollywood.
No, ain't no big time. No, I'm just Mo, man. Thankful for the opportunity that's given to me, man. But, you know, like me, I said, I'm just a glorified backyard guy. I got my sponsors that are, they're just, they're launched. Just again, I met with a big distributor, and they take a nationwide, they'll get it down south and Alabama and out east and up north and out west, and so I'm working on that right now, and I'm looking forward to. I'm ready to come, man. I got, you know, I got a contest this weekend in Pleasant Hill, and then, you know, I'm be clicking one off Friday every other weekend or every weekend, so I'm looking forward to cooking. I'm already ready to cook. It took me a little bit on my first contest to get up to speed, but you know, I'm motivated now.
Well, that's good to know. So, Donnie, what you got up your sleeve this year?
Well, like I said before, we've changed everything, including our mind, with cookers and new trailer. And we did like to give thanks to a sponsor that come and actually just picked us up, the Barbecue Superstore. They've been got on board with them a couple of months ago and working out with product and some of the things that it takes to win. And I guess we'll be lettering up the trailer this weekend. I'll be cooking with those guys in Evansville, Indiana at the new competition that's going to fire up there for Parkinson's disease. And I think all those guys are coming out of Michigan. I think the organizer said there was three or four teams of them that they got me in the middle of them. And just they asked me, was I looking for a sponsor? And I said, no, but if it's a great product and fun people, I'd love to have it. And we got hooked up with them. And I don't know if there's a lot of places that you can buy the products with that we use, but the Barbecue Superstores, they're new with it. They bought that company and pushing it hard. And I'm sure that they'd appreciate any business that they could get. I know they've done well for me.
But I know you're, I think your nickname ought to be Mr. Consistency, because you're right up there all the time, no matter where you go. If you don't win, you're right there at the top, buddy, and I got to give hats off to you. I mean, I don't know of any more consistent cook other than Tuffy on, you know, just week in and week out basis that that competes. And like I said, now that you've got the new cookers, I know those are very consistent cookers, and you know, I hate to say it, but I think you're going to do very well this year.
Well, I'm going to try. I guess there's a lot of praying that goes into things at about 2:30 to 3 o'clock in the morning for me to make sure that I can keep. It's very easy for me not to be level-headed. I think I get scatterbrained real easy, but I just say this year I'm on a mission from God.
There you go. You get your mindset like that, you're on that mission, you kind of stay a little bit more focused.
Yeah, I don't know the barbecue thing. I've had a lot of hobbies and I don't know if I'll be a lifer with it. You know, I'm enjoying it now, and it's because my family goes with me, and it's not taken away from anything of my home life. But if it ever did, I'd probably quit it. So this year is that's why I've done the trailer. I figured, what could I do to? I feel like I left a lot under the table last year. I got close on some of the big things and just couldn't close the deal. As far as, you know, it seemed like right when I needed to be at my best, I'd always choke. And this year I thought that the thing that I could do that might help me is just get more comfortable and stay more level-headed. So that's the trailer change that I made. And I'd like to see, you know, just do the best that I could do. And it's I've met so many people. It seems like every year, you know, you just get more and more friends to where when you pull into some place, there's it's hard to stay focused on cooking because you want to talk and be with everybody. Cause it, but there's just so much time in a day.
Yeah, you got to make yourself stay in that trailer and get the meat done and get where you need to go. You know, as far as you're concerned, I know you bring, when I was fighting, you brought your family and your pig. So
yeah, she's actually, she's running around here now. My wife said, can I let Gracie out? Is she going to make too much noise? I said, no, she won't make too much noise. We're very family oriented, and it's you know, if it wasn't for that, I don't know that it's pretty hard to go competition barbecue cooking. It takes a lot out of you. You have to work just about every afternoon at night, getting all your rig ready and trimming meats. And if it wasn't for the people, it probably wouldn't be fun enough to keep going.
I agree with you there. Just the people you meet. I mean, the competition side, sorry for us, about 25% of it. The other 75% is seeing some of the, you know, some of the country, some of the new little cities and towns and stuff. But, you know, mainly meeting the people out there. You know, meeting the competitor, just sitting down having either Thursday night or Friday night or Saturday night dinner and just hanging out and, you know, just going to find. I mean, there's so many people from so many different backgrounds and so many different personalities and everything. It's just fun to see how they all mesh together.
Yeah, it is. You got to put a lot of effort into it because there ain't nothing no worse to drive 200-300 miles back home with your tail between your legs after you took a big whooping.
Yeah.
It's going to be for a long drive home.
Especially with your wife in the other seat giving you that old stink eye all the way home and not saying nothing to you.
Yeah, because you know it's all your fault.
Oh, yeah.
David, you got any shout-outs that you want to give?
Yeah, Joe Stone here in town, the butcher over at Piggly Wiggly's. That's where we get, you know, everything but our briskets. And they've been great to me, and they've taken care of me and stuff. And, of course, Mr. Mike at Royal Oak Charcoal, Mike Shore, he's been gracious and was nice enough to take care of us and make sure we had our lump charcoal. So, you know, and as y'all know, every little bit counts.
Oh, I know.
This is a very expensive hobby sometimes. Very expensive.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. He took us on about 3 or 4 years ago, kind of grandfathered us in. So we just got loaded not too long ago. But, I mean, I can't imagine what it cost me if he wasn't, you know, one of our sponsors. I mean, you know, you look at the realm of things and for what they give us, and if we had to pay for it, good Lord, it'd make it really, really tough for us to afford it. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Royal Oak does a great job. Quite a few teams, and, you know, they've got really good products. And, so we're gracious, too, to have them on board, and we're very thankful for that. And,
we do actually have course, my wife's telling me we're pit poor and RV poor now. We actually have Randall is building us, Bowman is building us a 20-by-8.5-foot porch trailer. Supposed to be finished this week, hopefully. And it's going to be in the indigo blue, same color as our pits, and we're going to get it striped out and everything. And, of course, we switched out to the classic that we got last year. That's what we've been putting on this year. And it's been awesome so far.
I hear Donnie over there eating dinner.
You out here, Gracie? He wants to get on the radio.
I was about to tell my wife she needed to calm down. We were talking on the phone, but then I realized it wasn't her.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to say that.
She just,
I ain't saying that.
You hear her laughing in the background?
Yeah, but you're going to pay for that, buddy.
Oh, hell yeah, you're going to
pay for that. Donnie, yeah. Donnie. He looked at me and said, I want a pig now. Thank you.
Going to town, ain't she?
Yeah, she's trying to get a grape that fell underneath the counter.
Between a wife, a miniature Dachshund, and a miniature Australian Shepherd, I'm about outgunned as it is.
Yeah, you are. So, well, look, guys, I look forward to seeing y'all out there on sale this year, and but I'm sure we'll cross paths sooner or later. And Mo, you need to get your butt down here to cooking Georgia a little bit more, or North Carolina somewhere, kind of venture out a little bit more.
Oh yeah, I will, man. I will. You know, I got a full time job. I'm a water treatment operator. That's what I do for a living, and I've been doing that for almost 19 years. And I've been fortunate enough to have weekends off for the last, 17, 18 years. And so, you know, that's why I'm able to do this. It's because I'm able to have weekends off. And, you know, it's been a lot for me. I hit the ground running and did my first contest in 2006, did 20 a year. And I've done about 20 every year since then. So I just, I love it, man. I love getting out there, like you said, meeting all the people, the new all different characters and all my friends and stuff that I see all over the country. You know, I like getting out to places I've never been before. That's my big thing. I'm from Iowa, but I love places that I've been before, people, and having a good time, man. But, yeah, man, I'll see you out there in the back, man. I'll be out south sometime this year. I just, just one contest at a time, you know, and I got about probably 20, 30 more, you know, that I can do, and it all depends how I'm doing at the end of the year for points. You know, I'm really going to make a good run at it and try to do what I can. But I'll holler at you guys. I got to go feed these little young kids I got. But you guys take care. And Donnie, all you guys, man, I'll holler at you.
Good deal. See you soon.
Right. Thanks, bud. I want to appreciate all y'all being on the show tonight. You know, without y'all, there wouldn't be no barbecue superstars out there. And,
no problem, man.
Yeah. And we're just gracious to have y'all on here and have y'all as friends, and hopefully we'll get to see y'all out there before too long. I know we'll see David before too long. So
yeah, if I can holler one more thing. Next year, y'all need to all plan on coming down here to Blues and Barbecue. Lydell does Blues and Barbecue. Of course, that's our home, and you know we're gonna talk up for it. But the seafood they cook on the Friday night's cook dinner is to die for. And then, Mo, you'd love this. We got griots and grits in the morning for breakfast.
Hell yeah. What's up, baby? Yeah.
I thought it was.
I'm Louisiana, and I'll send you back on a flatbed because you get so full.
Hell yeah. I'll do that. I'll try to put it down on the calendar for next year.
And also next year, here in Livingston at the fairgrounds, there's some people we're talking to that want to do. They're looking into doing another KCBS-sanctioned event. That's either going to be the week of Tupelo down here, or I think next weekend is what they're planning. First weekend in April, so they'd actually be, you know, several down in the Louisiana area, you know.
All right.
Possibly look into, or people might come to and stuff. So we're gonna try to help them and do that, especially try to promote Louisiana a little bit more. Because most
people
think of us. I thought
that Gulf Coast swing was full. I didn't think you'd get in there.
But we won't be known for barbecue too.
All right, guys.
All right, guys, we appreciate it, and like I said, we enjoy y'all's company, and we look forward to seeing y'all out on the tour, and glad y'all are part of Barbecue Superstars, and you know, like I said, we're all just one great big family out there having a good time.
I appreciate you asking me on it. That meant a lot to me. I gratefully appreciate it. Very humble.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm humble doing these, and talking to all these big superstars and barbecue and stuff, you know, I'm going on my third year, and just, you know, people I see on TV and stuff and get to be friends with, and it's just an honor.
That's it. Cause I remember watching Donnie on Pitmasters and Big Mo, and, you know, looking up to them, telling my wife when we was in the back here, man, I wish I could be like that one day. I really do. You know, and now, you know, I'm sitting here talking to them on the radio. I mean, it's like a dream come true.
like I said, we appreciate each and every one of y'all, and we'll see y'all out there on the tour. And y'all be safe. God bless y'all, man. Y'all are just cream of the crop.
Thank you for having me on here.
All right, Donnie. Take care, buddy, and take care of Grayson. She's hungry.
We will. We'll see you soon. See you, David.
Hi, brother. We'll see you too. Y'all
all right.
Be careful on the road, everybody.
All right. See. Bye.
Appreciate it. We'll see y'all. Hopefully, have a contest coming up pretty soon.
Hopefully soon.
Cleveland,
thanks,
Tennessee.
All right, well, that's going to end our show tonight. We have had a really good show. We've had Christy Beckham from the coordinator for Ben Jovi Keith. We've had Donnie Bray from Warren County Pork Choppers. Mo Kason called in. And then David Morrow from Blue Blood. So we had a really good show tonight with some really top-tier teams in the country. And looking forward to promote Barbecue Superstars even more. Great to have them as friends and part of the barbecue family and community, and look forward to seeing all my buds out there pretty soon. We are itching to go on KCBS. We haven't done any yet, but we're really trying to get on the road, and about two and a half, three weeks we'll be there competing with some of these guys. So I want to give a shout-out to Royal Oak Charcoal, Mike Shore, doing a great job, buddy. We appreciate everything y'all do. David from Butcher Barbecue. Great product, really helped us out a lot. The man is a scientist on meat. If you got any questions, call him, order you some rubs and injections, and help your game a little bit. Also, I want to thank Scott and Tim from Southern Q Smokers for building the quality pit. They have water pan smokers and gravity fed pits that are hard to beat, and you can't beat them for the price, I can tell you that. Quality is there and the price is there. You need to call them up and let them know you heard it right here on Barbecue Superstars, and let them know that you're interested in one. They'll give you a rundown on what they have, the products they have, and everything else. Also want to thank Phoenix Printing, Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills, Jeff Campbell from WikiQ, and one of our new sponsors, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill right here in Evans, Georgia. When people come to BenjoQ, we're heading there to eat. So I'd like to thank everybody for calling in and had a really good time. We'll see y'all next week.